It's a Monday morning. Welcome back. You're hanging out in the break room. Watch just classic rock, 96.5. WCMF, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
Going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
It is 60.
Yeah, it's nice.
60 degrees right now. Temperature-wise, it should be nice up until about 7 o'clock. That's when everything starts to go down again.
7 o'clock tonight?
Tonight, yes. I'm sorry. My apologies. Rainy during your morning commute. A little bit windy midday. But other than that, I mean, outside of tomorrow with a high of 40, it should actually be a pretty nice week if you don't mind the rain.
Okay.
When it comes to temperatures, we got that going for us. Little housekeeping note.
What's going on?
We are... Live stream is down once again today.
Hey.
They have discovered the problem.
Mm.
They have to rebuild a new computer.
Oh.
Because apparently...
Wait, don't we have a new computer?
That sounds complicated.
We have a separate computer for our live stream.
Oh.
So apparently...
What happened?
The camera collecting images of your face...
Yeah, what happened?
...gunked up the computer. That's what it said. You know when it gets all like loud over here? It's because it's trying to process your ugly-ass face because you're so ugly and stupid.
Yeah, I got it.
And dumb. And unappealing sexually. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm lashing out.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a little bit of insecurity on my part.
What's the matter?
I don't even have to ask you this question, so I'm going to turn to Kimmy.
What?
Have you ever had those moments in your life where you are well aware you are by far the dumbest person in the room?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
So Saturday night, my wife and I are going to go to have dinner with friends of hers.
Okay.
Now, I never met these people.
Yeah.
And there's going to be other people at this thing. It's like just everyone's hanging out at the house, have a meal.
Now, this is more a circle that your wife runs in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, intellectual.
Like, as intellectual as it gets. So.
Well, yeah, she's an intellectual.
So my wife, you know, she's a doctor.
Mm.
This couple, very nice people.
Yeah.
They are both doctors.
Oh.
There are three other people at the dinner. A couple. One is a doctor. One is an HIV researcher.
Oh my God, these are like top people.
Yep, and then the final person is an historian who travels to work on like these major projects. She is here in town working on a specific historical project for one of the universities.
Okay.
So
wow.
It is like
the
cream of the crop of smarty pants. And I am also at this table.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
So like on the way over, I'm thinking to myself, like, look, man, we talk for a living. Right?
Yeah, we talk like this for a living.
Yeah.
Your mom. Your mom. That's what we do for a living, man.
So we literally have something called bitch voice theater.
Okay.
And the creep cap.
I understand everything you guys are saying.
We mock every neighborhood. So, okay.
Everything you're saying is accurate, but the point I'm getting at is, like, look, man, I can have a conversation, right? And, look, not to toot my own horn, but I am pretty good at, like, blending in different situations.
Even in that crowd.
No.
And like, I think you could admit you couldn't blend there.
Okay, look, I realized, Kimmy, as soon as I walked in the door, I was in over my head, and that was the first kick in the scrote.
You probably weren't even dressed the right way.
I was dressed the right—I wore a collared shirt.
Okay.
But it was flannel. Yeah. I wanted to keep my blue-collar roots.
You don't want to lose yourself.
Exactly. Anyway, so I walk in, and I want to say this right up front. All of these people were unbelievably nice people, kind people, right? Like, they went out of their way to, like, you know, talk to me and engage with me.
Yeah.
And, like, individually having conversations, that wasn't the hard part. It's when we all sat down to, like, have dinner, and everyone starts talking about, like, the things they do and what they're working on and things, right? And, like, somehow, despite the fact that a lot of their jobs were different, they were all able to contribute to, like, the conversation about what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I sat there and didn't say anything for 4 hours.
Oh.
Because there was at no point a place where I could insert myself and be like, oh, well, I can't even. It was so over my head, I can't even, like, come up with a sentence to make a joke about what I could have said. That's how I felt. So dumb. So dumb for so long. And it was not the fault of these people.
No.
It was all my own insecurity thing. But I could not hang.
Well,
could not hang.
You could have, but you couldn't because your wife was there. I don't mean any disrespect to your wife, because you could make stuff up if she wasn't there. Like,
oh,
these people
true.
Don't know you, so you could have lied your ass off. But the fact that you have truth serum sitting next to you, you can't do any of that.
No, here's what I discovered. See, that's not a bad plan. But that's why we're both dumb, because we would have tried to do that.
Yeah, you would have gotten in over your head.
And we would have been sniffed out immediately.
And then, oh, now I'm busted and I need to leave.
Because, like, there were Kimmy, like, you know, there were, of all the different, like, jobs that they had, everyone at the table was able to, like, inject either some personal thing or like ask a question involving that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So if
there
I were
been
to
follow up questions,
like, let me ask you a question. All right. So like you're going to, you know, you're dressed for this kind of party.
All right.
All right. Yeah. So you walk in, you need to make stuff up about what makes you intelligent, smart, educated. What are you going with?
Well, you know, I worked with Ken Burns for many years on a lot of documentaries.
Really? Which one?
The one about the Civil War.
What did you find the most interesting?
You know, the South, man. Crazy, right? Can you believe it? And then the North came down, and then that whole thing got kind
of
ugly.
One of my favorite songs in the band. The North came down to Charleston, and the girls were
getting ugly.
Sha-da-da-da-da-da-da. You start singing the song.
Yeah.
That's why I researched this. Yeah. I start reading the lyrics of the song.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You didn't even lead with the right thing. You're well-traveled. You could have thrown in some info in there about some weird, unique place you've been.
One time I got an HJ from a chick in a Bowling Alley parking lot, Minnesota. Ever been to Splits in Duluth? I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Look, you don't understand the world you're playing in here, right?
We're all professionals.
Yes, yeah. it's like you know, single A muck dog's ball, and then all of a sudden the next day you're in Yankee Stadium. It's impossible to compute the difference between normal conversation and the situation that I was in.
So that's the longest you've ever been quiet. 4 hours.
That,
since I've known you.
Well, no, that, and then that time you did that long comedy show where it was just complete silence for five.
Weren't you part of that show?
It was called Tommy for Five. Shut up. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I had to go to, I went to dinner with my wife. We were invited over by this couple. They're both doctors, you know, my wife being a doctor. There was an HIV researcher, another doctor, this like super smart, important historian.
Yeah.
That was in town, was there, and I had nothing to contribute.
You could have talked about the show.
What am I going to, I don't want him to listen
no.
to this.
So, no, you don't point that out.
Occasionally, I will mock the other man in the room by simulating sex with his mother, and then he will do the same to me, and we will both project our insecurities on each other, and we have a pretty good laugh at it. You know? What about you, sir?
So I couldn't even do the phony
yeah.
British accent
yeah.
because British guy.
Well, the guy, HIV researcher,
was British.
Was British.
But they even had a British guy.
So here's the funny.
Hey, they really went all out.
Well, they did. I don't think they went out of their way to find
where do
a
you
British
get those
guy.
Guys?
What are you, Britain?
No, like England? Here though. Like if I had a party, I wanted a British guy. Could I hire one?
I have my buddy lives in the neighborhood. He's British.
What does he charge an hour?
I haven't asked him, and I don't know what he's willing to do.
British boy, come over here.
Well, no, like, that guy was really nice because, like, when he found out that I work at a classic rock station, you know, we're going to connect. So the town he's from, John Anderson from Yes, the lead guy
yeah.
from Yes, yeah, is from his town, which is funny because, like, the one band that we play that I am not super familiar with is Yes.
Okay.
Like, of all the bands, you
and
picked
now
the-
Now I got nothing again.
You picked the one- Deep prog rock band that I don't listen. Give me any other band. Anyone else. Anyone else, please. You picked a one.
Yeah.
You picked a one. Damn it. I was almost there, and we're
You can't even be an expert in your own field.
Thank you. Like, I mean, Kimmy, everything made me feel so dumb. Like, driving home, I felt like a five-year-old child. You know, I'm just sitting, my shoulders are like slumped over. I'm holding the wheel. My wife was like, that was fun. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty draining.
A lot of smart people doing smart talk. I like the pasta. The pasta was delicious. They gave me strawberries and ice cream.
I would have a hard time for 4 hours just not alone talking, just looking interested. Because I know I would just start to drift. And like.
Off to sleep?
Just drift. Like start dazing off.
Okay.
You know, like, just forget what I'm even doing.
Well, but that was the other bothersome part, is because, like, the conversation was interesting.
Yeah, but only for how long, because I don't know what you're talking about.
You almost felt like you were, like, an audience member.
Yes, yeah. I did. It was like listening to a show. That's what it was like.
Yeah, but it's been a lot of stuff you didn't understand.
No, I mean, it wasn't, like,
you
a
could
lot
understand,
of
you just couldn't contribute.
Exactly. Like, let me put it this way.
It's like Spanish television. I kind of know what's going on there. She's pissed off at him because the girl with the big boobs is in the closet.
It also informed me how little I have done with my life, right? Because all of these people are talking about, like, the things they've accomplished, and not in a braggy way, just as part of the conversation, and, like, the places they've been to do
certain
things.
They all traveled a lot.
They have traveled a lot, but they've traveled for, like, the jobs that they do to, like, make the world a better place.
Look at that.
Yeah. And, like, as I'm hearing, like, oh, yeah, I went to AFC Championship game in Kansas City. It was pretty cool. I watched Josh Allen play football. It was pretty sweet. No big deal. I got ribs.
Oh, look at that.
I got ribs in Kansas City. So pretty sweet. Like the guy who like hosted the party, he travels doing doctor stuff.
Oh.
Right? And like he made this soup. It was delicious.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, this is amazing. And he goes, oh, thank you. When I was in Singapore the last time I had it, and I've been making it ever since I got home. I was like, oh, I don't even know where Singapore is.
Hey, did he ever try one of them Singapore slings? I hear they really knock you on your ass, man. Got a lot of the boys in trouble with WW2, that's for sure.
Do you think, like, do you think
they... Hey, you ever seen them hookers over there?
You know how you walk into the room and you just know you're the dumbest one?
Yeah.
Do you think they know that they're smarter than the room?
But they weren't smarter than the room. They were smart. You mean if they were to walk like in a room with us?
Yes. Like if they walked into a room with us.
Oh, good question.
Like would they have the same insecurity?
Oh, that's a really good question. Mm. I don't know. Because we all, as humans, just want to fit
right,
in.
Right, right.
Right? So yeah. That's a good question. There would have to be that kind of insecurity as well, right?
I don't know.
And you could tell I was with smart people because I said as well and not two.
Unless they don't realize how smart they are. And they just think everybody's like this.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Because they could all walk in thinking like everybody. Well,
right.
You've probably been to Singapore too. Like they just assume because they've done it, you must. You know, it's like
kind of live in a bubble.
Yeah, whatever it is. But it's not even a bubble thing because I think whatever you do for a living, wherever you come from.
You think
from,
it's common.
Yes. You assume that everybody has had the same experience as you have. Yeah. So that's another great. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you do see those stories, right? Of really intelligent people who feel isolated because they're no one understands what they think or what they do.
Yeah. They're looked at as weird.
Yeah, but anytime I hear somebody say that story, like tell, you know, people don't understand me because I'm so smart, I assume they're dumb and they're just trying to sound smart.
Oh, I just thought they were creepy.
Okay.
Hiding some stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sounds like a good time.
But here's the thing. It wasn't a bad time.
Weird soup.
It was no,
quiet
soup,
for 4 hours.
The soup was delicious.
I understand.
The stories were interesting. Yeah. You're right. It was this weird side-by-side of just taking everything in and being like, wow. Because, you know, I'm interested in different, you know, I like reading stuff. Like, you know, Dr. Seuss book.
I'll read.
One time I read a book. It's like anything literature that came up, it's like if I didn't read it in high school, I was out.
Yeah, that Mike Lupica, he's pretty good. Yeah, you ever check him out?
But at the same time, like just the realization as the night went on, like it was like, it started with, wow, these people are really smart. Mm. Then it went to like, wow, they're all smart together, which means that I'm dumb.
So it's very deflating.
Yeah. Like it just like the if my intelligence was a gas tank and it started on the confidence of it started on full by the end, like the needle was buried so far on E. There was a bend in the middle.
You needed to go surround yourself with a bunch of dumb people.
Yeah, I immediately called Tommy when I got home. Hey, what up?
Your mom.
Well, I hope you're feeling better now.
I have never been happier to walk into work, right?
Back like, into the cesspool.
The second you walked in, it was just like a calm breeze through my face. There are so many things that could cause tension in your relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Money, stuff going on socially, you know, how you want to raise your kids.
Yeah.
But it turns out this is a problem for a significant portion of couples, which is an issue.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year.
What's going on?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we have our final four for the NCAA men's tournament.
Okay.
All one seeds. Sucks.
So no Cinderella, nothing.
No.
You know, it is, quick sidebar, it is weird how the NCAA tournament is the one tournament you don't want to see the best teams play each other. Because like when the Bills play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, everyone's excited. It's best on best.
Rooting for the underdog.
Dodgers versus Yankees World Series. Mm-hmm. It was the biggest hyped World Series in like two decades.
Yeah.
Yet I don't want to see the best basketball teams play.
Well, you do like to see that one team from nowhere with nothing.
Yes.
I mean, like, I guess... Aside from maybe Duke, you are getting some unique number one seeds. I mean, like these aren't
like
traditional.
We got Bruce Pearl.
They're not always, you know, in the top bracket.
Yawn. Don't care. Yeah. Sucks. But despite that, over the last three weekends, there are lots of folks who have had their eyes glued to the television watching tournament games all weekend. And with that, a new study says that one in three couples Sports causes major arguments in their relationship.
Really?
33% of couples say that sports has caused fighting between the two of them.
But what's the argument?
Well, because
turn it off?
Being yes. fans? Yeah, I was going to say, or because one's a fan and one's not.
The biggest issue, Kimmy, about a quarter of people in relationships say that sports watching habits are a deal breaker for them. Mm-hmm. If they have a partner that watches sports too much, they cannot handle it. 25% of Americans said that.
So it's basically men. For the most part, we'd be glued to the TV watching sports.
You know, I would have agreed with you 20 years ago. I don't know if that's always the case right now.
Do you think there's a wife that, like, she's got to watch the Yankees every night and he could care less?
There are two couples I know
yeah.
Where the female in the relationship is a diehard Bills fan and the dude's never really been a sports fan. They're music guys.
Right.
And I know it causes tension because she wants whatever they're doing on a weekend, we're dropping it.
She's locked in.
Yeah. Almost 20% of Americans say that sports watching habits have caused them to feel neglected by a partner.
So you're like, you're a sports widow.
Yes. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is that lower or higher than you thought it would have been?
You say 25?
So 1 in 3 couples say that sports has caused fighting in their relationship. A quarter say sports watching habits is a deal breaker. And 1 in 5 Americans say sports watching has caused them to feel neglected by a partner. Right. Higher or lower?
1 in 5? I guess 1 in 5. Yeah, okay. That sounds about right. I mean, it's not like a blowout. Which I hear he's not into.
That makes sense because, I mean, like, we have some super fans here, and we aren't even, like, a traditional sports city. Like, I couldn't imagine if you were dating somebody, let's say, like, from Boston, where they are just a fan of all Boston teams all year round,
yeah,
like, all-encompassing. Like, it never ends, yeah. You know what I mean?
No, she's right. I mean, between the Sox, Bruins, yeah. Celtics, Patriots.
So when I was engaged to that chick in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
So they lived in Lexington, and all that town talked about was goddamn basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah,
it's Kentucky,
so it's like
basketball.
If you live in a place where you're just it's all surrounded consumer. By it. Yeah.
And they don't do anything when the game's on. And even when the game's off, it's all about it was annoying as crap.
Okay, so I love how you go, this is mostly women, right? And then you come in and go, I don't like it when they talk about Reparina. I don't like
it.
Oh, my
God. Like, they got into, like, the guy that announced the games on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, they treated that guy like
a
legend.
Oh.
You're in, like, the mecca of college basketball.
Oh, God. And it's Southern sports, too. So it's almost like, it's like second Jesus. Like, they got their Jesus, and then they have basketball Jesus.
But it's funny, you know, you bring up Boston, you bring up Kentucky, your experience there.
Yeah.
I would argue in Western New York, it would have to be lower because of the way that we treat the Bills, because the Bills are a year-round thing.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, between free agency, now getting ready for the draft, training camp showing up in August, there's never a time where you are not in Western New York.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have at least 3 Bills breaks a week, and we're not even trying to. It just happens.
Yeah, but it's not something, you know, you're sitting down or scheduling to, like, sit down and be away from your family all year.
But even with that,
yeah.
Again, 252-WCMFs, WCMF, 1 in 3 couples say that sports has caused some kind of fighting in their relationship. Most of it has to do with, it seems, one person watching sports when the other one doesn't. Kimmy, granted we're not a traditional sports town, if you go to a sporting event in Western New York, whether it's Bills or Sabres or here in Rochester, Amherst, Red Wings, Nighthawks, most of the time, it's a bunch of couples who are there to watch the game together that are actively participating.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's not even really a new thing for the Bills because, like, when I was a kid, it was a bunch of couples going to the Bills games.
Yeah,
together.
But usually the wife just kind of went. She wasn't, like, a diehard fan.
So that was my mom, but I know women who were diehard fans in the 80s
and 90s. Excited about, like, you know, something different to do.
All right. I always think of, like my mother. Like, my mother just went. Because my dad was going.
Sure, yeah.
Especially when they retired. I told you when he golfed, she would sit in the cart and knit just to be with her husband while they golfed.
But that's you with your wife and the Bills.
I can't knit, bro. I've tried.
Okay.
You saw that sweater I tried making you. And then you lost all that damn weight.
You have said it to a microphone before that your wife, diehard Bills fan.
Yes.
Her kids, diehard Bills
fan. Oh, yeah.
They will be on group text together watching the games. And you're just there.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I said I want to be off this group text because it's annoying me.
And I'll go even further. Yeah. Tell me if you think I'm wrong.
No, go ahead.
If you were not with your wife, you would not watch every Bills game every Sunday.
Well, I would because of her job, But no.
So your job now is to be the Bills expert, and you can't tell me what happened on Monday morning. I have to explain things that happened.
All right, well, maybe.
Okay, so, like, don't sit here and try to be like, yeah, man, couple of bros is watching sports. You know, you and me, like, bro, you are that guy. Your wife is a bigger sports fan than you are, and it causes tension.
So, like, if we're on, let's say we're on vacation, I don't want to watch a sports game. I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, we're on vacation. My wife does not want to watch the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend 3 hours sitting here watching a game when we're on vacation. Again, we're paying a lot of money. We could do this at home later. But she goes, no, I got to watch the game.
You can't do it later. The game is on now.
Yeah, come on, man. I'm in Miami. I'm seeing family. I don't want to. Hey, let's watch the game.
Yeah.
Because my family doesn't care at all. Like, my oldest brother, nothing to do with sports.
That blows my mind that a guy of his generation, his age, where he lives, with the sports background. Your dad, we found out last week off mic, played professional baseball.
He played single A ball.
Yeah. Okay, it's professional baseball. Yeah. Your uncle played for the New York Giants, had a tryout with the New York Yankees.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Baseball Yankees. Yeah. Yeah. And your brother doesn't watch sports.
I told you, my brother, who's lived in South Florida since 1968, couldn't tell you who Bobby Bowden was.
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. What happened to the Mule Boys?
And he likes to shoot guns.
Okay.
And he does all the other, like, macho stuff, right? Nothing to do with sports.
Just goes to show your dad can ruin everything for you.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So the funniest part of this study.
Yeah.
Despite 1 in 3 Americans saying their sports watching habits have caused fights in their relationship, a quarter of men said they are not willing to budge in any way on their sports viewing time for the sake of their wives or girlfriends.
So they're just locked in.
There is nothing you
That's the way it is, baby.
Yeah, there's nothing you could say or do. Is that a fair statement, Kimmy, from these men? Do you understand why they feel this way?
I mean, I guess I get it if it's like a big game or something.
No, but they're saying like they don't budge.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess you kind of both have your own thing when it comes to that, right? Like, you would know something that your wife won't budge on. So if that's your thing, that's your thing.
All my stuff is budgeable. I can't say no. I can't say that's just the way it is.
Your wife doesn't like the outfit you wear. You won't budge.
Yeah. Where's the white shoes?
Yeah, and then you've done nothing but bitch since the white shoes went away. Okay, that's the one thing you've compromised on. Your wife thinks you dress like a clown, and she's right. But you have not budged on how you dress.
All right, clothes.
Okay,
there you go.
There's your non-budge.
Well, there's my flag.
Why are you doing that?
Oh, it's in your mom.
For God's sakes, man.
I know, but that's what she said.
Like, I don't think it's inappropriate for someone to say, this is what I love, this is a deal breaker.
But you're also saying it's not negotiable.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Is it not fair?
But then,
if you love music, right, and your partner doesn't like your music, you're not going to play it around the house? That's not fair. Are you not going to be able to go to concerts you want to go see?
Well, to not compromise at all doesn't really work in a relationship.
There are some extreme cases, I think. And I think those cases ruin it for everybody.
But here's
you put it before everything.
Right. Like, I've learned, like, I know she don't like my music, so I got to pick my spots with my music.
Baby.
Yeah, you know, I say Players Club.
But you have such a grinding personality, like, it's necessary for you to take extra steps. You know what I'm saying?
Well, personality is very nice.
Like, just like that.
Like, think about, like, your dad, for example. Like, there was no budging on his
fandom. Budge, you didn't even ask.
And that's what I mean. Like, you know, like, that became a problem. That was a problem.
No, you're right. You're right about that. But I guess what I'm getting at is, and look, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But, like, when you are getting into a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
And if you are a woman getting in a relationship with a man who you know worships a sports team, loves watching sports, why would you expect that to change over time?
Because they want you to change.
Okay, but there's a difference there.
Right.
Wanting me to change is one thing.
Yeah.
Thinking I will change is another. Mm. Is that fair? Like, I mean, you knew walking in what this was. Like, it's not alcoholism, right? It's not a drug addiction. I'm not blowing all of our money on, like, Ponzi schemes.
But women expect you to change when you get into a relationship. They don't expect you to be some ape walking around the house like you were before. They want you to change.
Not so much change, but you would think, now that you're in a relationship, like, you consider the other person a little bit more. Like, that person becomes a little bit more of a priority than everything you have going on.
No, but if I got
compromise.
If you get into a relationship and the guy changes absolutely nothing about the way he lives, fine. Mm. But I do think you should be able to hold on to things that you love and what makes you, at least one or two things.
It would be nice.
No, it's again.
You can put all your stuff in the garage or that one special place in the basement.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. All of my stuff lives in the garage. All of my stuff lives in the basement. I am compromising on these other things. I am going to Maple Weekend with you. I am going to stay in a bed and breakfast or like hang out with your friends.
But that's if you compromise. You're painting a picture like you're willing to compromise those things. Somebody that is holding on that tightly to their love of sports may not compromise on other things.
I will do those things when there is not a game on that I need to watch.
Yeah.
Fair?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Did we just solve this problem for
Probably
her?
Probably not. I doubt it.
I mean, like, the rise of the female sports fan is the greatest thing that has ever happened to men in the history of this country.
Mm.
The fact that you can now sit down with your partner and enjoy a sporting event together, my wife willing to sit down and watch sports with me is
amazing. Is that a good thing, though? Like, I'm thinking, like...
Well, you get to watch wine ads now during sports.
But is it healthier to have a balance? Because, like, I'm thinking the one game I'm thinking of was, like, the 13 seconds game.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I were so devastated together after that game that we didn't speak.
Wow. Well, I like your honeymoon.
But, like...
13 seconds of disappointment. Sorry, I'm just laying.
Easy.
You're a good kid. You are. You're a good kid.
He's saucy because I called him dumb earlier. I'm not dumb. Your husband shoots early.
You had me at that party.
But, like, maybe it would have been healthier to have a balance of somebody who, like,
makes you
feel better.
Oh.
But there's nobody to cheer you up during those lows if you're both super, super depressed.
The logic there is solid.
Yeah.
But you and I both know. There is nothing that anyone that is not a sports fan can tell you in that moment cheer you up.
Oh, it's just a game.
Sure.
You know, they don't even know your name.
You want to think.
Yeah.
If you were in trouble and you went on the run.
Oh, yeah, on the lamb, baby.
You could hide easy somewhere else in America. But this story from right in our backyard shows that it's way harder than you think.
Really?
Well, Tommy, you know this, having traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Things are way different in different parts of America.
Yeah, you got to understand your environment.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, even if you thought you were some master of disguise, you would stand out like a sore thumb.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. A 24-year-old man on the run from the law has been arrested right here in upstate New York.
Damn.
And the man has been wanted nationwide.
Wait, like a manhunt?
Well, I don't know if it was a manhunt, but he was wanted nationwide. For charges that included theft, theft of a firearm, illegal possession of a firearm, and four counts of theft involving a debit card. This 24-year-old is from Arkansas.
Arkansas? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't blame me. You're from Arkansas.
Especially in upstate New York, right?
Arkansas was the most unblendable people.
So let's break this down, right? Because first off, the accent here in New York.
Right.
Right? I don't care how rural... Let me try it again.
Rural,
the community in upstate New York you're hiding in, is that Arkansas accent?
No, it cuts.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Second, I'm looking at the kid's mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
He has Lego hair. Kimmy, you know what I mean?
So it's just like gelled up?
Nope, it's a swoop. You know when you turn on College Game Day and you see those frat kids from Auburn, Clemson, and Alabama? It's got like the poof over the top.
But it doesn't look like it moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They all have Lego hair.
So a lot of product in the hair.
But the kid looks, he's got Southern hair.
Okay.
Southern hair going to stick your head. The third?
Yeah.
His name.
How many names does he have?
He's got two names.
Well, he doesn't have a middle name?
Two first names?
But it's the most Arkansas name you're ever going to hear. Okay. You ready?
All right.
His name is Hayden Crow.
Oh, yeah.
Hayden Crow.
Hayden Crow on the run from the law from Arkansas.
Aren't they opening up at CMAC or Florida Georgia Line?
Bro, he is a. I'm pretty sure that's a character from Gone with the Wind.
It's got to be.
Old Hayden Crow. So the fact is this.
Yeah.
If you are from the Deep South, you are going to get caught hiding in a place like New York. And it goes the other way, too. It would be impossible for anyone, Tommy, from the state of New York to blend in Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Louisiana, Texarkana, Bananarama, any places like that. Am I wrong?
Yeah, unless you're like in the big city areas of the South, you could, like, you know, because there's a lot of influence now with the South. But if you got out in the nowhere of the South, you're done.
Name me a big city in the South you could blend.
Well, Atlanta's
an international city.
Charlotte, Dallas, Houston. Those are big metropolitan cities, have a lot of like international people, right? But you couldn't go to Jacksonville. Like Jacksonville is a Southern town. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Mobile.
Sure.
Like those others, Birmingham,
They Greatest city in Alabama.
They never got the message.
Places
man.
That didn't have as many like transplants.
Yeah. Like Nashville is like an international city now. Memphis ain't.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And they're
fair.
Both tourist towns. No, but you're different
right.
tourists.
You're right.
I just want to see Elvis. I just want to touch his grave.
I mean, like when you talk about the culture of the two parts, the different parts of the country, they are just too different. Like the food, the language, the customs, something as simple as pace of life. Because as we talk about this 24-year-old from Arkansas who was arrested here in upstate New York on the run from the cops, I know there are people that can hear us right now that live out in the country. And you like to think that life is more simple and slower for you than for folks that live in the suburbs of the city.
Yeah.
And you're right, compared to us.
Yes.
If you spend any time in the South, the places Tommy described, it will drive you insane how much time it takes for anyone to do anything.
Yes.
Anything.
And I know, like, sometimes you'll hear more of a country accent up here, but Southern people talk slow. Even though you have that accent up here, you talk way too fast for the South.
Preach, brother.
Not in a rush.
No.
And here's the thing. I do want to be clear. I'm not saying one way is right and one way is
wrong. No, it's just how you live.
Yes, but there is no way if you showed up in a place in the South that you would not immediately stick out and at least cause a little suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about this 24-year-old kid. He's been on the run from the law. He's wanted in Arkansas for theft of a firearm, illegal possession of a firearm, and four counts of theft involving a credit card. He was found like half an hour east of us. His hair, his accent, the name Hayden Crow meant he was going to get popped. All right, let me ask you this. 252-WCMF, as a New Yorker outside of the Northeast, where could you hide in America and not stand out?
Oh, it'd be South Florida.
Okay. So where the New Yorkers have gone to.
Right. Mm. I mean, as they always say, you know, South Florida is 300 miles south of the South.
Okay. And you can also make some
arguments. You'll catch the same accent as you down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, you brought up Charlotte. Some of the parts of the Carolinas also have transplants.
Oh,
from
a lot.
But even making that move, which is not a dumb argument, offers kind of a strange risk also. Because there are people, tons of them, that live in the Carolinas and in South Florida that are from here and still follow the news from here. In fact, I know for a fact there are people listening on the Odyssey app right now that are in Florida, Carolina, places like that.
Yeah.
They may know who you are when you show up. I'm not even
You're
kidding.
You run into somebody who used to live next to.
Yes, or that, but you look a lot like a guy that I saw on 13 Wham when I was watching it online last night here in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
So if it's not Florida or the Carolinas, where else?
Could I go and blend?
Yeah.
I feel like you can always disappear in Ohio.
Why?
I don't know. Well, you know what I've noticed? Okay, anywhere like along the Great Lakes, we all have the same accent. Everybody's going to say jab.
Okay.
So it's like you could blend like just having a basic conversation.
Okay.
With anybody like kind of in that stretch of area?
There are some really rural parts of Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania.
Oh, especially when you get down like southern Ohio. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
But northern Ohio? And you also have to say Ohio.
Ohio?
Yeah, Missouri, Ohio, Honolulu.
I don't know about that. There have been times I've gone to towns in Ohio where I knew I didn't belong there, and they knew I didn't belong there.
Like but I'd say you wouldn't disappear.
Oh, but you wouldn't, because that's the funniest part about this, is the way to get away with a crime is to blend, right? Not make any suspicion. But let's say you were to go to a small town in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, wherever. Everyone in that town is going to be suspicious of you immediately because you're not a local.
But they have like those mid-range cities like Rochester that you could go blend in.
Give me an example.
Columbus.
Okay.
Big city. But it's also a country town, too.
Yeah.
It is? Columbus.
Yeah, it used to be a big cow town.
Oh, no kidding. Your mom was there?
It's terrible to say about my mom.
Yeah, it was actually the nicest thing I was going to say.
What about somewhere with like a big college town, like Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Okay.
Because you're going to get people from all over. Kind of Columbus the same because they have Ohio State there.
Okay.
You're expecting people from different places.
That's a good take.
Places.
Any city with a college.
Yeah,
you would
like
be
a
able
big kind time of college coming. Where there's just a, you know, that's who populates the town when college is in session.
Okay. All right. All right. That's not a bad take if we're trying to run for
college towns.
Yeah.
Jaden writes us. We were asking where you could blend from upstate New York. He says Montana. Jaden, that was the stupidest response.
Have you ever been to live off the land?
Yeah, right. How? I don't know how to live off the land.
I don't either.
Yeah, you gotta be like
rugged.
So
I'm gonna say no to that one.
But you have to be rugged to live in those areas.
Yeah, you gotta know what you're doing.
What job could you? Because you would have to get a job to support yourself.
Right.
What job could you get in Montana that wouldn't make you stand out? Because, like, if I went and worked in retail, that town would know I'm not from here.
Mm.
I don't have any skills with ranching, farming. I'm not good at starting a militia. I've never tried that before.
Yeah.
What could I do?
Yeah, I would stay out of the West.
Okay. What about if we go super West? Pacific Northwest?
Oh, like Seattle, Oregon?
Yeah.
Mm. Northern California?
We both wear flannels. We both we both like the outdoors. Like,
well, yeah, you could blend into, like, what are you talking, like San Francisco? Or are you talking about, like...
No, I was talking more northeast.
Yeah.
Like Pacific or Pacific.
You'd
like,
also have
like, or, I'm sorry,
be
northwest.
Able to afford
like
to live there.
Spokane.
Yeah. Could you not afford? I mean, I'm sure there's is the whole state of Washington expensive to live in?
No.
Well, you were talking like San Francisco. I'm like, I don't know if you can afford to live in San Francisco.
All right, let's say like a Syracuse populated town in the state of Washington.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Could you blend there?
Oh yeah. Sure.
I have not spent enough time there to know.
What's the accent?
I don't know.
Because I can't even give you.
I don't think they have one.
They have to. Everyone has an accent. Yeah.
Kurt Cobain didn't have an accent.
Well, that's a it's funny. It's where I was basing it on hearing him talk. I can't think. Who's the most famous person outside of Kurt Cobain from the Pacific Northwest, and what is their accent?
Jam.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, babe. I can't speak like that.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're an alcoholic, you blend in anywhere. You can.
No, that's the opposite of that.
No, that's how you blend in. You hang out at bars.
Yeah, and then
you pick up on things.
Dude, bro, in the first night you're drunk at this bar, you would immediately tell them you're on the run from the cops
in
this small
town.
No,
you don't get that drunk. And by the way, most alcoholics are pretty good. I mean, you know, they're good people.
Yeah. You know, your best bet, in all sincerity,
right,
maybe to go somewhere else in the state of New York. And I'm not even kidding. Like, there are many places in the
Binghamton?
State. Well, yeah, I mean... Binghamton, Albany, Syracuse. Like,
right.
I know it seems counterproductive because you're
going to run into people.
Maybe. Or no one will think that you're not from that place.
Right.
You know, the more you can make yourself a local, the better chance you have of pulling off whatever you're trying to pull off.
What if I go not New York City, but close like Yonkers, Poughkeepsie?
Is the culture change enough?
I mean, like Rye, New York. I mean, it's just, it's.
Okay.
You're out of the city.
Yeah.
Again, though, could you afford to live there?
Ooh, good question.
Wait, Poughkeepsie?
Oh, Rye. I think it's pretty expensive to live there.
I mean, the closer you get to the city, the more expensive it gets. And I mean, like, think about it. You would have to find a low level job to keep your, go work a fryer
later.
I'm great
at low level.
No, I understand.
King low level.
You would also have to make enough money in that job to support yourself.
All I need. My dream is to be one of those alcoholics that has a bicycle, and I just ride from my apartment to the bar and my job.
Well, the good news is you're almost there.
Yeah. I just need a bike.
No, like, I mean, we've talked about this before. Mm. When I was on the road doing comedy, I got stuck in the city for 3 nights, Forest City, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. It was right off the interstate. There was a Motel 6 that was like $40 a night, and there was a diner there where I could walk in, I'm sure, and be like, let me cook the hash browns, and they'd be like, okay. Right. So if life got overwhelming, my plan was to go be a fry cook.
Just dunk fries all day.
Yeah, at this diner in Forest City, Arkansas.
Nice.
But after this story, and it's weird that it's Arkansas where the kids
were. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would not have been able to blend. My wife would be able to find me immediately and bring me back home to be the husband that she knows I can be.
All right. Because you got kind of a southern face.
The hell does that mean?
You can blend in a lot of places.
Yeah, you got southern.
You could be Midwest.
Yeah, you have a weathered face. You got a ball cap on. You got a beard.
You're just a guy.
Yeah.
Just a guy in a baseball hat.
You wear a lot of sports stuff.
Which identifies where you're from.
No, you people wear.
I'm wearing a Rochester Red Wings hat.
Nobody knows that.
You sometimes wear obscure sports stuff that you'd have to explain to people, so that may work.
You have enough doofus in your face to pull it up. I really do.
Thank you.
I'm giving you a compliment.
How am I the weathered one? Do you not see
what's...
Well,
no, I didn't say weathered. You know, you could look at Pat and not know how old he is.
Right.
He could be 45. He could be 30.
Yeah. A hard 30.
There's a big range there.
Hard West Side 30.
Thank you.
Because you're not gray yet.
No.
Because I've been mistaken for, like, different, like, parts of the world.
French every time.
Different parts of the world. What is
I got. People thought I was Cajun when I was down south because of my name. Because
you look like crawfish.
Yes, I've been mistaken for a French person.
Why?
And I also, this is going to blow you away.
It is.
Okay, people thought I was Native American at one point.
Who thinks you're Native American? No.
So, remember, I was out on the road,
yeah,
and I went to all those obscure places. So I went to Sitting Bull's gravesite. So it's on a reservation, and I pull in.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a Geo Metro. I look broke as hell. I also have I have Florida plates.
Okay.
So you don't still see Florida plates, especially back then, right? So the guy thought I was Seminole coming up to look at. He asked me if I was Seminole.
Oh.
Well, is that because of where you were, though?
No, but I kind of look. Like, you got to look the part a little.
No,
bit.
You don't. No.
I can't have red hair and go, yeah, I'm a Seminole.
Nothing about you looks Native American.
I looked. Don't forget, I was 20. I was 30 years old.
Oh yeah, right around when everyone looks Native American at 30.
I had a thick black hair back then. I kind of looked Native American.
Okay,
I'm telling you, man. And I was with those people, and they said, "Hey, man, are you Seminole?"
Okay,
and I didn't lie. I didn't lie.
Stolen Seminole Valor?
No, I didn't know. I know.
Well, that's great.
Did you walk away kind of like shocked, proud? Like,
well, they were kind of shocked. Like, people just don't show up in the dead of winter to look at Sitting Bull's gravesite.
You don't know how little time I have or yes. How much time I have in my head.
I'm not working on jokes.